Okay, so you know when you're reading the Bible sometimes,
Yeah.
it's like you're really getting it. Like
Yeah.
God's kind of like right there with you. It's like
Ooh.
almost like he's, I don't know, explaining it, but
Yeah.
like somehow you just understand. It's
Yeah.
this whole idea of like illumination,
Right.
which we're gonna deep dive into today. And we're gonna be looking at a lecture
Yes.
that specifically goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16.
Yep, that's our main passage today.
But also pulling in a bunch of other verses too.
Yeah, a lot of other key texts.
So we're going to really unpack this whole concept of illumination because I think, you know, we've all maybe felt that.
Oh, for sure.
Like where you're just like, wow,
Yeah.
I get it.
I just got zapped.
But is that
In real.
really what the Bible is saying?
Right. Is this just a feeling?
Or is this something deeper?
Or
And
wait.
how does it actually work?
Actually, how God has designed it to work.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to dive into.
Okay, so first off, where does this word illumination even come from?
Yeah, so it's actually interesting. The word itself, illumination,
Yeah.
you're not going to find it
Right.
in the pages of the Bible.
Okay.
Like just straight up.
Okay.
Like it's not like a biblical word in that sense,
Yeah.
but what it really grows out of is this idea of the witness of the Spirit.
Okay, so that's the root of it,
Right.
witness of the Spirit. So let's talk about that. What's
Okay.
that all about?
So the lecture highlights three
Yeah.
really important verses for this.
Okay.
The first one being Romans 8:16,
Okay.
which says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Now, what's interesting here
Yeah.
is that this witness
Yeah.
is an inner conviction.
Okay.
It's like an assurance deep down
Like you know it.
that you're a child of God,
Yeah.
that you're saved
Yeah.
through faith in Jesus. And it's less about,
So it's not like understanding a certain passage.
no, not a specific
It's
passage.
more like this, just like,
It's like you're standing
wow.
with God.
Yeah.
Are you
Yes.
his
Yeah.
and he is yours?
That makes sense.
Right. And the second text is 1 John 5:2,
Okay.
which says, "Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in their hearts."
Okay.
So again, we're talking about an internal testimony,
Okay.
a knowing within yourself.
So these are very much internal.
Right. It's not like
Although,
something external.
yeah.
It's something the Spirit is doing
Inside.
inside of you.
Okay.
And actually, the whole book of 1 John, its main purpose
Yeah.
is to provide believers with that assurance
Yeah.
to help
Yeah.
you know him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what it's about.
Okay, so that's two.
Two.
Two
It's
down.
what's number three?
All right, number three. This one's Romans 5:5.
And it says, "God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us."
Oh, okay.
So here, the witness of the Spirit is tied to experiencing God's love.
Okay, so this is different.
It is a bit different.
It's not just about knowing you're saved.
Right, it's not just that assurance.
It's about like actually feeling.
It's about experiencing God's love personally.
Yeah.
But, and this is what the lecture
Oh,
emphasizes,
it's
it's
sick.
not just this like warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah.
It actually has ethical implications.
Okay.
It's connected to our obligation
Okay.
to obey God
Okay.
and to love and care for others. So this internal witness, it's not just about you.
Yeah.
It's about how you live in the world.
Okay, so it fuels your actions.
Right. It fuels your
Okay,
actions.
so those are like the three main
Those are
verses
like the
then.
big three when it comes to witness of the Spirit.
But then how does that turn into this idea
Right.
of God directly revealing the meaning of the Bible?
Right. Because so far we've been talking about this very internal thing,
Yeah.
right? Like assurance in how we live.
Exactly.
But how does this then
Yeah.
become, well, God's going to tell you
Yeah.
what this verse means.
Yeah, exactly.
So to understand that, we need to rewind,
Okay.
go back in history
Okay.
to the Reformation.
Okay, back in the 1500s.
Yeah, 16th century.
Okay.
And there was this massive clash of authority going on.
Yeah, between like the Catholics and the Protestants.
Right, the Roman Catholic Church
Okay.
held that the church itself
Okay.
had ultimate authority
Got it.
when it came to interpreting scripture.
Yeah, so like what the Bible meant.
Right, what the Bible
The
meant.
church gets to decide.
You had to go through the church.
Yeah.
But the reformers, on the other hand,
Yeah.
they were all about sola scriptura,
Okay.
scripture alone.
Yeah, scripture alone.
Like the Bible itself
Yeah.
is the ultimate authority.
Okay.
And they really emphasized the right and responsibility
Yeah.
of individual believers
Yeah.
to study and understand it for themselves.
You don't need to go through somebody else.
Right. You don't need to go through the church.
Just you and the Bible.
Yeah, you and the Bible.
Okay.
So this was a huge...
That was like a major shift.
Oh, yeah. This is like earthquake level stuff.
Okay.
Changing everything.
Yeah.
And one of the key figures here is John Calvin.
Big name.
Huge name of the Reformation.
Yep.
And he really wrestled with this issue of authority.
Because if it's not the church...
Right. Because if you're saying no to the church,
then what is it?
Then where does the authority lie?
Yeah.
Because the Catholic view was basically Bible interpreted by the church.
Yeah.
And what Calvin did was he shifted it to Bible witnessed to by the Spirit.
Okay. So there's the Spirit coming in.
Right. So instead of the church, it's now the Spirit that helps us understand the Bible. And he developed this whole doctrine.
Yeah.
Called the Testimonium of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, testimonium.
Testimonium.
What is that all about?
So testimonium.
Yeah.
It basically refers to the Spirit bearing witness internally to believers, creating this deep inner conviction about the truthfulness and authority of Scripture itself.
Okay, so the Spirit is telling you like, hey, this is legit.
Yes, this is the real deal.
This is not just some book.
This is God's Word.
Yeah.
And for Calvin... Nice. Okay. The Spirit's role wasn't to give you, like, new information.
Oh,
that wasn't the point.
Got it.
The point was to persuade your mind, like, really convince you deep down that what the Bible said was true.
Okay.
And the Bible often uses the word heart for this.
Yeah, like, the heart is the seat of...
The seat of the intellect.
Yeah.
Will.
Yeah.
It's all kind of wrapped up in that word heart.
Right.
So think of it as the Spirit
providing
what theologians call... an efficacious confirmation.
Yeah. Efficacious confirmation.
Yeah. It's a mouthful.
But it's basically like the Spirit's like, yeah, this is it.
It's like a divine stamp of approval.
Yeah.
On the Bible.
Okay. So it's not giving me the secret interpretation.
Not the secret interpretation.
It's just saying like, yo, trust this.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is from God.
Okay.
Believe it.
Okay.
And the lecture actually shares this really cool story from the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
About their own conversion and how, like, later on they had some doubts.
Okay.
You know, because we all go through those.
Yeah, yeah.
But what was so powerful was this persistent internal conviction that the Bible is true.
Yeah.
Even when all these questions were swirling around in their head. Like, intellectually I have these problems.
Right.
But I still believe.
But deep down, you know, in my heart of hearts, I know this is true.
So that internal witness was stronger than... Way stronger.
The doubts.
Than the doubts.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Spirit's witness.
Yeah.
It's this powerful persuasion about the Word.
It's not like a substitute. It's not like I don't need the Word anymore.
Right.
It's like this goes hand in hand.
Yeah. They work together.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's about conviction.
It's not about God downloading the meaning into my head.
Right. It's not like this direct.
For every single verse I read.
Download of meaning.
Okay.
For every verse.
Mm-hmm.
It's more this. Overall.
Yeah.
This is true.
Okay.
And this was a really important distinction.
Okay.
For Calvin.
Yeah.
Because back then, there were these groups.
Yeah.
That he called enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts.
Yeah. And these were people who claimed to have like direct personal revelations from God.
Okay.
And they would put these revelations on the same level or even above.
Above the Bible.
Bible.
Whoa.
And Calvin was like, no. Yep. Like, that's not how it works.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Right, because if everybody's got their own revelation...
You've got a million different things.
And who's to say who's right?
Yeah, and it undermines the Bible.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so he was really pushing back against that.
Big time.
Okay.
So for him, the Spirit's work was this revealing action.
Revealing action.
This act of inner conviction.
Yeah.
Which is a form of illumination.
Okay.
But it's not a revealed content.
Okay, so it's about the Spirit's work.
It's about what the Spirit is doing, not the specific things
that
he's revealing.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Right.
Now, how does this whole, like, the Holy Spirit's role in all this fit in with the Trinity?
Right. Because we can't just talk about the Spirit.
Yeah, we got to zoom out a little bit.
We got to see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Right, and the lecture makes this crucial point.
Okay.
That... The Holy Spirit's role within the Trinity is to exalt Christ.
Not himself.
Not himself.
Okay.
So the Spirit's primary work is to draw people's attention to Jesus.
Okay.
And to convict them of their need for him
okay.
through the message of the scriptures.
Okay, so the Spirit's using the Bible to right. point us to Jesus.
Right. Okay. The Spirit's not an end in himself.
Yeah.
He's a means to the ultimate end,
okay.
which is Christ.
Yeah.
He leads us to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He glorifies Christ.
Yeah.
And he teaches us about Christ.
Okay.
Through the word.
So that has big implications for us.
It does.
Like if the Spirit's main goal
yeah.
is to point us to Christ through the Bible.
Right.
Then if I don't want to read the Bible.
If you have no interest in the Bible.
That's a problem.
That might indicate
yeah.
a lack of response
yeah.
to the Spirit's work.
Ooh. That's convicting.
Yeah. That's a good point the lecture makes.
Yeah. So they're not independent.
No,
like,
no.
I can't just ditch the Bible and be like, well, the Spirit will just tell me.
No, the Spirit and the Word,
yeah.
they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
We shouldn't think
yeah.
that we can somehow bypass the Bible
yeah.
and have the Spirit just directly tell us everything we need to know.
Yeah.
Instead, we turn to the Word
yeah.
to learn God's will.
Yeah.
And then we ask the Spirit
yeah.
to help us understand it
yeah.
and obey it.
And obey it. That's important.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a partnership.
Yeah.
It's not one or the other.
Okay, so the witness of the Spirit, then, is tied to redemption.
It is.
It's tied to me understanding that I need Jesus.
Yes, it's the Spirit
yeah.
who opens our eyes
yeah.
to that truth.
Okay.
Now, this leads us to a really important question.
Yeah.
When you're reading the Bible,
okay,
does the Spirit tell you
yeah.
what it means?
Yeah, like straight up.
Like, does he give you the interpretation?
Yeah, does he become like my little Bible dictionary in my head?
Right.
Yeah.
You just hover over a verse and the Spirit's like, here's what it means.
That would be nice.
Yeah, it would make things a lot easier.
Yeah.
But here's what the lecture says.
Okay.
And I think this is so important.
Yeah.
There is no verse in the Bible.
Yeah.
That promises that the Spirit will directly tell you.
Okay.
What a specific passage means.
Okay, so it's not like the Spirit's going to be my personal commentary.
Not your personal commentary.
Yeah.
The Spirit's not your cliff notes.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Instead, the Spirit convicts us
mm-hmm.
that the Bible is serious.
Yeah.
That it's real.
Yeah.
And that it's something
yeah.
that needs to be diligently studied.
Studied.
And understood.
Yeah.
Using our minds.
Okay, so God gave us brains.
He gave us brains.
And he expects us to use them.
He expects us to use them.
When we're studying the Bible.
Right.
Okay, so this illumination,
yeah,
it's not about me just getting these like downloads and being like, oh, I understand everything now.
Not about shortcuts.
Yeah.
Not about spiritual shortcuts.
Yeah.
It's about work.
It's about actually digging in.
It's about engaging.
Engaging with the text.
With the text.
Okay, so what does it mean then?
Right, so we got to redefine this word.
Okay.
All right, so here's how the lecture defines it.
Okay.
Illumination.
Yeah.
Is the benefit
yeah.
that comes with being regenerated by the Spirit.
Okay.
So if you're a Christian,
yeah.
if the Spirit's living inside of you,
mm-hmm.
this is something that you experience.
Okay.
It's where the Spirit helps believers
okay.
use their God-given capacity
okay.
to submit to the teachings of Scripture
okay.
about themselves
mm-hmm.
and the world around them.
Okay.
And here's the key.
Yeah.
This understanding
yeah.
comes through Scripture itself. Interpreted by Scripture.
So the Bible is the key.
The Bible is the key.
It's not like I get this extra thing
yeah.
on top of the Bible.
No.
It's the Spirit helping me understand.
Understand what's already there.
What's already there in the Bible.
Multiple pages. And the Spirit works with our will.
Oh.
Prompting us.
Yeah.
To be receptive.
To be open.
To be open.
Yeah.
To God's truth.
So it's not like he's forcing it on me.
Yeah.
But he's making me more willing.
He's making you more willing.
To accept it.
To receive it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not about you getting your own unique Spirit-revealed interpretation.
Okay.
It's about the Spirit.
Yeah.
Making you more open.
Yeah.
To what the Bible actually says.
To the plain meaning of the text.
Right.
As best as I can understand it.
Exactly.
Oh.
And the process of understanding Scripture,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the ins and outs of that.
Yeah.
Is what we call hermeneutics.
Hermeneutics?
Yeah. Big word.
Yeah.
But it's basically the principles and methods.
Of interpretation.
Of interpretation.
Okay, so there's a whole field of study.
There's a whole field of study.
It's dedicated to, like, how do we understand the Bible?
And it's not just like, well, I feel like this is what it means.
Yeah, you can't just make it up.
Yeah. No, you can't just make it up.
Yeah.
There are rules.
There are principles.
There are principles.
You know, pay attention to context.
Context is key.
Yeah.
Author's intent.
Yeah.
Original audience.
All that stuff.
All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
But it's good work.
Okay, so the Spirit's not going to give me a shortcut on that.
No. The Spirit doesn't give you a shortcut.
Okay.
But he empowers you to do it.
Okay.
He motivates you to do it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do it for you.
Okay.
And the lecture gives this really strong warning.
Okay.
It says, if you think the spirit is directly revealing meaning to you.
Okay.
Apart from careful study.
Like, I don't need to study. I just get it.
Right. Yeah. You might just be hearing yourself talking to yourself.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah. So I got to be careful.
Got to be careful.
That I'm not just like projecting my own ideas.
Right. It's so easy to do.
Onto the text.
To read into the text.
Yeah.
What you already believe.
Okay.
And just kind of use the Bible.
Yeah.
To confirm your own biases.
Like, oh, look, the Bible says I'm right. Yeah.
Right. No, we got to let the Bible speak.
Yeah.
And we got to be humble.
Humble.
And willing to change our minds.
Yeah.
When it challenges us.
Okay. So now let's get into some specific verses.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
That people often use to support this idea,
right,
like direct revelation.
Right. Like God just telling you what things mean.
Yeah. So 1 Corinthians 2.15.
Okay.
It says, the person with the spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments.
Yeah. This is a tricky one.
Yeah. So how do people misunderstand this?
Yeah. So the common misunderstanding is that this verse is saying that if you have the spirit, you basically have like spiritual omniscience.
Okay. So I know everything.
You know everything.
Yeah.
Or you're immune to any criticism.
Like no one can question me.
Nobody can question you.
Yeah.
You're always right.
Yeah.
But the lecture says, hold on a second.
Okay.
This isn't about knowing everything. This is about having the spirit.
Yeah.
Giving you the ability to understand created reality.
Okay.
From God's perspective.
Okay. So it's like I have a new lens.
You have a new lens.
To see the world.
A
biblical lens.
A biblical lens.
Yeah.
You're developing a biblical worldview.
A biblical worldview.
Right.
So it's not that I know everything.
Or not that you know everything.
It's that I can understand things.
You can understand things.
In light of what the Bible says.
In light of God's truth.
Okay.
So you're making judgments.
Yeah.
But those judgments aren't coming from like a direct download.
Right.
From the Spirit.
Yeah.
They're coming from you using your mind.
Yeah.
Informed by the word.
Okay.
Guided by the Spirit.
Guided by the Spirit.
But not dictated
for
the Spirit.
Okay.
It's a subtle but important difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And the lecture also points out this verse from 1 Corinthians 4.4.
Okay.
Where Paul says, God is the word who judges me.
Okay.
Not you guys.
Yeah.
Not your opinions.
Okay.
So even with the Spirit.
Even with the Spirit.
Our understanding is not infallible.
We're not perfect.
We're not perfect.
Yeah.
And we're still accountable.
Yeah. To God.
Ultimately.
Ultimately.
Yeah. So this also then, you know, makes me think.
It does.
About modern issues.
Right.
You know, things that the Bible doesn't directly address.
Right. Like, how do we apply these ancient principles to modern problems?
Yeah.
We can't just sit around and be like, well, I'm waiting for God to tell me.
Yeah.
We need to use the wisdom that he's already given us
in the Bible. In the Bible.
Or figure these things out.
Yeah.
It's our responsibility.
Okay. So 1 Corinthians 2.15.
Mm-hmm.
Not about me being like all knowing.
Not about omniscience.
Yeah. It's about having a biblical worldview.
Biblical worldview.
Right. Now, how about Galatians 5.18?
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. So this one says, but if you are led by the Spirit.
Okay.
You are not under the law.
Yeah.
How do you think people often misunderstand this?
I think a lot of people think this means like the Spirit is giving me like turn by turn directions.
Right. Like every decision.
For my life.
You got to ask the Spirit.
Yeah.
What should I wear today?
Should I turn left or right?
Should I eat this or that? Right.
Like a spiritual GPS.
Like a spiritual GPS.
Yeah.
But the lecture clarifies that in the context of Galatians 5, led by the Spirit is a metaphor for sanctification.
Okay.
For living according to the fruit of the Spirit.
So love, joy, peace.
All those good things.
Yeah.
Patience.
Yeah.
Kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Self-control.
Goodness, faithfulness.
Yeah.
Gentleness.
Yeah. All that good stuff.
Yeah. And it's contrasting that.
Okay.
With living according to our sinful desires.
Okay. So it's not about like, do this specific thing. It's about the overall direction of my life.
It's about the overall trajectory of your life.
Being shaped by the Spirit.
Yeah. You're growing
in
Christlikeness.
Okay. So it's more big picture.
Big picture.
Not tiny little details.
Not micromanaging.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the upper room discourse?
Okay. Yeah, John's Gospel.
John's Gospel, yeah. John 14:26 and 16:13, right. Where Jesus is.